Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This morning's reading comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Here ends the reading.
What comes to mind when you hear the word darkness? No light, the absence of light. Perhaps it's a scary movie or a dark thunderstorm. Or perhaps if you're like my husband, you think of a band called The Darkness. We don't tend to hear this word much these days, do we? Unless, of course, there's a power outage in South Australia, but we won't go there. But, of course, darkness is all around us, isn't it? Even in the daylight. We only need to turn on the news or click on social media to know that the world is riddled with darkness. War, malnutrition, poverty. And on a more personal scale, it could be disease, could be tiredness and fatigue, feeling overwhelmed by worry or anxiety, responsibilities in our life. One example of relational darkness, if you like, was a story I heard this week about two elderly neighbours. One was 83 and the other 90. They had been fighting for not 1 year, not 5 years, not 10 years or 20. These two elderly men had been fighting for 45 years. And get this, it even started before they came to Australia. Now, it all came to a head the other week when one of the elderly gentlemen was seen running after the other with an iron pole in his hand. The pursuer tripped on the curb and died. To make matters worse, this man knew. He said to his family, "One day this relationship is going to kill me." And it did. Last Sunday, Marissa reminded us about how darkness entered the world. If you recall, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. He had an instruction for them for their own good, but they listened to the lies of the devil and they went their own way. Because of this, darkness has entered our world in the form of sin, death, decay. Every one of us here is wrestling with some form of darkness in our lives. It could be darkness related to physical health or emotional issues of regret, sadness, shame. Personally, I'm going through some relational darkness at the moment. There's a family member of ours who's been estranged from us for almost 20 years now. And that causes some pain, especially around the Christmas season. But it's a darkness I'm feeling that I'm pushing aside. It's there, but I ignore it. What is it for you? This morning, however, I want to bring a message of light and hope. I want to bring a message about Jesus, the light of the world. Every morning when Phil or I go into Liam's bedroom, without fail, it's Yes, Liam, the light. We might go to a cafe or to the zoo or a supermarket. Ah, yes, the light. And if you think about it, this kid's onto something. What is it about light that attracts us, that draws us in? If you think of a campfire at night, or the warm glow of a candle, or the relief you feel when, oh, the light's back on after an outage. It's comforting, isn't it? Because we can see. We know where we are. We know where we're going. We know if there's an obstacle in the way. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness. This is a bold statement, isn't it? Imagine someone, anyone, me, saying this. You'd think I was a little crazy, a bit full of herself, isn't she? But Jesus, he isn't just anyone. And to prove it, he made an even more significant claim within that statement. I am the light of the world. I am. These two words are powerful. This is what God used to describe himself in the Old Testament. I am who I am, says the Lord. When Jesus said this too, he is saying, I am God. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness. What is this light of life that Jesus is talking about? It's the light of eternal life. He's saying that after you die, you will have eternal life with me, without any of this darkness that I talked about before. People across the world, throughout the generations, different cultures, societies, they've had this urge to worship something that's out there, haven't they? They've created customs and rituals. They've even made gods and idols. They've even made gods out of worldly lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And people make modern day idols, don't they? Habakkuk says, of what value is an idol carved by a craftsman or an image that teaches lies? None of these things offer life beyond the grave. They might look like lights today in our world. What can they offer after death? A British girl this week, I think, or the other week, recently won a court case. You might have heard about this. She could have her body cryogenically frozen when she died. She said this, I'm only 14 years old and I don't want to die, but I know I am going to. I think being cryopreserved gives me a chance to be cured and woken up, even in hundreds of years' time. I don't want to be buried underground. For this girl, modern science was her light. It was the hope that she would live again. But Jesus says that those who follow him, we have a certainty. We know where we're going when we die. But is that it? Do we have to wait to die before the darkness is gone? No. The great news is that Jesus loves us so much that he came into our world, into our darkness. He wants to help us here, but not only help us, he wants to take us from here into the life that he had planned for us on earth. The thing is, we're surrounded by darkness. There's a spiritual world of darkness as well that we're battling against. It's going to keep on coming at us. Jesus says, I am with you. you are not going to have to battle it alone. So let's look at an example. Luke chapter 18, 35 to 43. We meet a man here who is in a perpetual state of darkness. He's blind, can't see. And because of that, he had to beg for survival. I've read that when we lose one of our senses, the other senses compensate for that loss. So when this man heard the hubbub, the noise that was passing through, he said, "Hey, what's going on?" The crowd replied, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Now, I don't know if this man stopped to think or if he yelled out instinctively. All I know is he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." "Be quiet," said the crowd to this man. They scolded him. But was he deterred? No. He yelled out even more loudly, "Son of David, have pity on me." What a strange thing to yell out. Twice. But this man, he didn't conjure up this title out of nowhere. The term Son of David is a powerful title, and for the Jews, it held a lot of significance. This title was to be given to their long-awaited Saviour, to their Messiah. So when this man shouted to the heavens, "Son of David," he was declaring to the world that Jesus is the Son of God. This is their long-awaited Messiah. How is it possible that a blind man, a blind beggar no less, knew to call Jesus this? I sincerely doubt he had the means to travel around. Perhaps he'd heard stories from afar. And what might he have heard, Katie? He might have heard about Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of heaven. He might have heard, Angus, about Jesus' claim to forgive sins. Perhaps, Con, it was Jesus' miraculous healings, raising the dead to life, giving hearing to the deaf. What's so significant about a blind man calling Jesus Son of David? Even though this man was in a physical state of darkness, he saw more clearly than most. Even though this man was in a state of darkness physically, he saw more clearly than most. I'm going to read a little section from my devotional book this week. Many people agree with a sermon or scripture, but they don't apply it to their everyday life, so nothing changes. They think that just because they agree with the Word or the Bible, that it should bring change into their life. But change doesn't just happen automatically. A person has to be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. Let's look at this blind man. We've got a lot to learn from him. He'd heard about Jesus. He reflected on what he heard. He accepted Jesus as his Lord, Son of David. And in response, he cried out, "Have pity on me." This blind man was a doer. So how did Jesus respond to the man's cries? Did he keep on waltzing by, pretending not to hear him? Did he send an assistant off to write down the request? No. He stopped. Jesus stopped for this man. He requested the man be brought to him, and when the man came nearer, Jesus asked him, "What is it you want me to do for you?" The man replied, Sir, I want to see. Close your eyes now and let's say together, Sir, I want to see. Sir, I want to see. Jesus said to him, Then see, your faith has made you well. At once the man was able to see, and he followed Jesus, giving praise to God. How awesome is this story? Jesus came into our world, into darkness, and healed a blind man. The man could see again. But even better than that, Jesus gave this man a new quality of life. The man, being able to see, might be able to converse with people on a different level. He might be able to work again, earn an income, maybe have a family, and spend his life praising and giving thanks to God as a testimony to Jesus' power. But in addition to that, the man is assured of eternal life. Life eternally without darkness. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus asked a very personal question to the man. Do you remember what it was? What do you want me to do for you? He also asks us, what is it you want me to do for you? In your context, in your situation, here and now, Jesus asks, what is it you want me to do for you? Some of you might be struggling with unforgiveness in your heart or with a relationship with a neighbour. It could be that parenting's just getting on top of you right now, or you're struggling with some kind of bullying from the past. It could be anything, things I haven't mentioned. Jesus can bring light into that situation, into your life, your darkness. Psalm 139 says about God, Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light to you. Remember how the light draws us in? How it comforts us and gives us certainty? We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be overwhelmed by trouble. Jesus is like that. I've been in a position where, not dissimilar to the blind man, where I've cried out to the Lord for help. And I shared about that a couple of months ago. It was about physical health issues that I had that I required some prayer for. I was desperate and it took a little bit of a, you know, nudge, nudge, come on, Sharon, have some prayer. But in that prayer, I literally cried out to the Lord for help for my physical pain. Now, as prayer ministry often does, you scratch a little bit deeper and there's some other issues, so spiritual, emotional, out they come. But do you know what? After that time, my back improved, walking around pain-free, and I've got a new quality of life. But there's more. Remember, a couple of months after the prayer and suddenly, click! All this research I'd been doing, the pieces of the jigsaw just came together and I realised I was suffering from a physiological condition. That meant month to month I was battling off various things, including suicidal thoughts. And when I asked God why I didn't know about this earlier, he said to me as clearly as I'm speaking to you now, because prayer ministry had to happen. At that time, you had to invite me into your life and I could work in this way. I could peel back the layers and reveal this to you. Jesus bringing in the light, the revelation, the truth of this disorder meant that the shame and the guilt I'd been feeling for acting this way, gone. It wasn't my fault. And so just as he shone his light into my life and went further, going into other areas of darkness I didn't know existed, he's asking you, what is it you want me to do for you now? Now you might be saying, Sharon, I'm a Christian. I've prayed about this issue time and time again. I'm not getting a response. The darkness keeps growing inside. It's getting bigger. As a child, I watched the movie The Neverending Story. And it was about a boy who had to free the world from this darkness, this thing called the nothing. And it was portrayed as this sort of ominous-looking, thunderous cloud that was just, here it comes, devouring all within its path. Land, people, lights, laughter, everything gone, leaving darkness. That is how it might be for you now. And if it is, I'm really sorry that you're going through that. But you see, this is what the devil wants for us. He wants us to feel so lonely, dejected, overwhelmed by our darkness that we can't do anything about it. But that's a lie. Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. And the truth is, we're all going to go through some kind of intense trial. You may not be going through it now, you may never have, but it will come eventually, even if it's, you know, the death of someone we love and care about, it's going to come. So what do we do in that moment? We're assured of Jesus' love for us, that he wants to bring light into your situation like he did for the blind man. He wants you to be released from its grip and to liberate you so that you can live a free life, the one that he intended. I put together a little, I suppose it's like God saying this to you, to me, but it's from the Bible. I've just sort of put these bits together. I'll read it out now. The Lord is saying, my ears are open to your prayers. Be strong and courageous. Fear not. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I am near to the brokenhearted. I save the crushed in spirit. And look, sometimes it might seem like Jesus is taking too long. Come on, you healed the blind man like that. I was thinking about why that is. And look, he can heal instantaneously. It's been done. But he was on a bit of a tight frame there. He had to get to Jerusalem, and unfortunately, you know, things had to happen there. But with us, it takes longer. That's where our faith kicks in, isn't it? That's where we have to remember, he said to the blind man, your faith has made you well. We need to hold on to the Lord with all our might, with all our faith, and treasure the words, the ones I've just spoken, the ones from the Bible, treasure them in our hearts. In the case of grief and depression I've experienced over the years, it took years to actually work through and be freed from that. I had to keep giving it to God again and again. I was praying myself, I would pray with friends. And a sister in Christ taught me recently to do this with an issue, whether it's something big or little, to do this in prayer, to take the issue in your hands and to lift it up to the Lord. Hand it to him. He will take it from you, from your shoulders, and he will deal with it. Lift that darkness and give it to the Lord of light. And in working through the situation, the Lord might ask you to do some things as a response. Because remember, we're doers. As followers of Christ, we're doers as well as hearers. He might ask you to chat with Randall or Rod or somebody else that you consider a treasured friend that can help you and listen to you. He might encourage you to read the Bible. He'll always do that. to apologise to someone. Perhaps the darkness is caused by an apology that needs to be given, but you've been holding on to because of pride, maybe. He might encourage you, like in my case, to seek professional help. Might be medical attention or counselling. And he might encourage you to praise him. Even before you see the light come, to praise him regardless of the situation. He is worthy of our praise and worship. And one day, you'll realise, hey, I'm not holding on to that jealousy anymore. My anger's going. I'm at peace. I don't need to compare myself. I love myself. I see who I am as God sees me. The pain of grief is broken. Jesus will give you a new quality of life, like he did the blind man. We must persevere in hope. So as I finish up, Jesus assures us that he is the light of the world, the only light, the only one that can offer us eternal life with him. Other things might appear to be the way, but they offer nothing beyond the grave, like the 14-year-old girl in Modern Science. He stopped for the blind man, and he stops for you too. Will you be like the blind man and tell Jesus what it is you want him to do for you? Let's take some time now and just bow our heads if you like and just have a think about what's on your heart and what you can give to the Lord. And if you feel that way inclined to put out your hands and just lift as a symbol. And then I'll finish with a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into the world, for demonstrating your love for us, by coming into our darkness and showing us the way. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of relationship and that you desire to see us live the life you intend rather than a life bogged down by darkness. Lord, I pray that you would take the various thoughts, concerns, issues on our heart today, and we lift them to you, Lord. We give them to you. And we know, Father, that you replace that darkness with hope, with light, with love. You replace it with faith, and goodness, and kindness, and peace, and joy. You don't leave it vacant, but you fill it with your goodness. Encourage us day by day to offer up to you our struggles in faith, like the blind man, that you will come and heal through light. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.